can't hear you
yet.
What
are you doing? Oh.
I don't hear you yet.
This is KAFM.
I'm still not getting any.
I'm Adam Cochran. Let's see if Rick Castellini is here.
I'm Matt Kettlewell.
Yeah, I can hear him.
Rick Castellini. Yeah, for some reason, I have no volume.
His headphones aren't working.
I'm going to try a different set.
Okay, that works.
Three of us in here.
That's right.
Still don't hear anything.
Well.
There we go. Now we're there.
This All one? Right.
As long as you guys heard stuff. So I'm cool.
Oh, yeah, perfect. I hear you.
Okay. Yep.
Hey, people are just turning up their dials going, man, I got to hear more of this. This is about the best thing I heard all day.
It will be the best thing they heard all day.
Well, I hope so.
This is the second Wednesday of the month public affairs show with myself, Rick Castellini.
And I'm Adam Cochran.
And I'm Matt Kettlewell.
We've already all kind of introduced ourselves. And we are the computer guys. And it's fun to have the three of us. And not all the time is it three of us. Next month, you guys will be doing on
just
the second Wednesday, the two of
all
you.
All right.
Because yeah. I'll be gone the second Wednesday. But anyway, this is the show where you, the listener, are encouraged, strongly encouraged, and to call us at 970-241-8801, extension 1, with any of your technology questions, concerns, or queries that you'd like to get answered, and we will point you in the right direction.
I don't do queries.
You don't do queries? I'll do the queries.
I'll do the queries. That works.
And you can tweet us at HelpMeRick or at Kettlewell or at Talking Digital during the show, and we'll answer tweets as well as phone calls. Phone calls are always nice, though, because we can start a little conversation and we can vet the question a little bit better than we can in 160 characters. So either of those avenues are great to get in touch with us. And Matt is always on his Facebook as well.
Yep, on Facebook at Matt Kettlewell, one word.
Matt Kettlewell, and mm-hmm. You can ask questions that way as well.
All right.
I've been talking to Matt for the last hour, so I've kind of gotten used to the one-sided coming out. But we can still answer the questions. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. And give us a call. We'll be here for the next hour talking computers, technology, social networking, cell phones, anything you want to talk about. We're willing to talk about it.
We'll give it a shot.
And I just saw a great article here, the headline. I'm trying to scan the headline before Adam made me laugh there.
Sure.
Move over Zuck. Abraham Lincoln filed a patent for Facebook in 1845.
Wow.
Did you guys see this headline?
I didn't see that.
No.
Apparently, the Springfield Gazette, which is where, obviously, Lincoln
yes.
is from, it was a one-sheet paper, and it was all about Lincoln. And he wanted to put a picture of himself on the side of it, and called a profile picture, even used the word profile picture in his patent application, but he was rejected. And
wow.
I'm going to read more about that, but that's kind of an interesting headline. That's from
is a cool headline.
From TNW, the next web.
Here's the kind of headline I hate. Pinterest is to Facebook as Spotify's new iPad app is to Twitter. I don't even care. We don't even want to talk about it.
I don't know if I want to dissect that.
Just the way everybody tries to be the new such and such. This is the new... Or they try to do the recipes. This is like... It's like Facebook combined with Pinterest combined with a little bit of Facebook with the agility of Spotify. And you're like, that's not a business model. That's a recipe.
What happened to the originality?
Yeah, no kidding. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of originality, at my user group today, I was showing this to Matt. And Adam, I'm not sure if you have this app yet or heard of this app for the iPad. And I think it's available for the iPhone. I'm not sure about Android.
All right.
But it's called, let me go back here. It is called, too many things, Bobsled. Have you heard of Bobsled?
Uh-uh.
And Bobsled is a free app that lets you make free phone calls
from
your iPhone or iPad.
Ooh.
And it makes free.
Now, does it give you a new phone number or can you?
I just installed it today, just learned about it today. But I had to download it because one of my customers walked off with my iPhone because he has exactly the same one. And luckily, during the class, somebody told me about this, so I was able to download it and use it to call his phone, call my phone multiple times until he answered one of them, and then he realized, hey, this isn't my phone.
Oh, there you go.
But Bobsled, it's a cool little app. Did you find it on the Android?
I'm looking for it right now. But when you did call me,
yes.
It had a very strange number. It was like in the 617 area code.
I think it's New Jersey. I believe
New Jersey.
I believe my client told me it was New Jersey.
Hey, that works.
But I don't know if you could call into that or if they all have the same outgoing. I don't
Probably
know.
Probably if you pay for it.
Probably if you call it up, you get some kind of political ad or something. But it's a great little app, and it worked great. And it's available for Android.
And it is on the Android. Yep.
Good. Nice.
Yep.
So it's called Bobsled, and if you have a smartphone or a tablet.
And there's actually two editions, one Bobsled Calling and the other Bobsled Messaging.
For SMS, yeah.
Yes. So,
so it's very cool.
There's some alternatives out there for messaging and calling.
Do you know what this picture is of?
Well, I saw the
did you see the headline?
I saw the headline.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
But tell us about it.
The Google has posted the first image they're releasing to the public of a picture taken with their Google glasses.
Okay.
Those who haven't seen, Google is teasing a new set of glasses that will basically tell you what you're looking
at. Kind of virtual reality. Yeah.
Just kind of. You look up at the sky and it tells you what the temperature is. You look at a building and it tells you what businesses are at that address.
So it's like a heads-up display?
Yeah, kind of, but not.
Have you seen it, the video?
Not yet.
The video is very cool.
The video is intriguing, but I think it's a little visionary. I think that the actual product is going to be a little different than what the video is. But I like the parody videos.
Videos
are even better, you know, where you look at something and it takes forever to load or it.
But look for Google Glass. Google Glass.
Project Glass, right.
And it is intriguing. It is very interesting. But I did also stumble the other day on those parody ones. And ones are hilarious.
They're really good.
But it's a neat opportunity. I saw the headline this morning, Adam, that said that potentially if this actually becomes to fruition, that the Project Glass from Google would open up a whole new type of photography. Is that what that article's about?
Probably. I didn't really read through the article. I just thought it was interesting.
We're all headline scanners.
No. Well, it's not that. It's all I cared about, and the reason I clicked on it was to see what the quality of the picture was.
And how did it look? It looked good from my end.
It looks better. It looks about as good as a lower-end cell phone, but it looks pretty good.
Cool.
Sure.
So that's kind of neat. But definitely you got to go check it. Anybody listening and the boy to my left here, Mr. Matt Kettlewell, you should go check it out. Mm-hmm. Matt, okay, I'm going to put Matt Kettlewell on the spot here.
Okay.
This guy, just to prove to you that this guy's a true nerd and not out there just cruising the web.
Right.
He has not heard of the
Two rainbows?
Double rainbow.
Double rainbow.
He's not seen that video.
Wow.
And he has not seen the Honey Badger Doesn't Care.
Really?
See, even ahead
of those are part of my curriculum at one of my classes.
Do you show them?
Oh yeah, we spend about two classes on memes. So
So now everybody that thinks I just goof off, I do
it
more
does
than
sound
just
like
that.
You actually must do something else.
But I was surprised because Matt is involved so much in social networking that he hadn't come across either of those.
Sure.
So in fact, my son, we were at the Avengers the other day. And he saw somebody go by and he said, "Dad, you see that guy's T-shirt?" And I said, I didn't see it. He said, "The T-shirt said, Honey Badger Don't Care."
Yeah.
So I haven't seen that. See, that would have gone way over Matt's head.
Oh, yeah.
Way over.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1 is a phone number. If you haven't heard of the Honey Badger and you want us to fill you in on what the Honey Badger is all about.
We can't play the audio on here, on the radio.
That would not be appropriate for KFM. Being a family,
but it is
something
that you should know what it is to be caught up in the meme world. It's like not knowing what I Love Lucy is.
Now, meme
is
a new vocabulary word. So explain what a meme is.
Well, it's an old word, but it's kind of it's become a meme in and of itself. Okay. A meme is a cultural. Yeah, think of it like TV. It would be I Love Lucy or Andy Griffith, something that everybody talks about. Or if you go into the advertising world, it would be something like. Who squeezed the Charmin? Don't squeeze the Charmin. That would be a meme in the advertising world. It's something that culturally catches on that everybody knows what it
where's
is. Where's the Beef is another one. That would be an advertising one. But now you have these
I just never
new
heard
ones.
The word till last couple of years.
Now would planking then be considered a meme?
Yes.
That's exactly right. Yeah, planking where people take pictures of themselves laying face down on.
Which is now old.
Wherever. Yeah.
Now it's old. Owling.
Owling?
Owling.
There you go.
You look it up.
Yeah.
Owling.
How
thing
far
is,
behind the times am I?
There's new ones all the time. And
South Park just did a thing on Taylor Swifting.
Oh, yeah? I haven't seen that one.
Taylor Swifting and who's the girl that does the Monday Night Football song? She's a country singer.
I'm not sure.
I can't think of her. But if you like South Park and you like their kind of humor... Take a look. I think it was their first or second episode of this season. And okay. It was called Taylor Swifting, and it's there's your owling. So now Matt is up to date on
and I found it on the Washington Post, so I feel like it's a legitimate site.
A bunch of my students created the CMU meme page where they've created memes associated with CMU.
Give us an example.
You know, there are things that wouldn't even make sense unless you're a CMU student. But one of them – here's one. One of them has the Dos Equis, a picture of the Dos Equis guy.
Okay.
What do they call it? Most interesting man in the world. You know who I'm talking about? The Dos Equis.
I don't know.
Okay, he always says, I don't always do this, but when I do, it's Dos Equis. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, it's Dos Equis.
Okay.
Well, it has a picture of the Dos Equis guy, and it says, I don't always use the crosswalk, but when I do, I get hit by a car.
There you go.
So it's a good CMU meme that doesn't apply anywhere else, but if you get, you know, if you're one of the guys who's been hit three or four times using the crosswalk at CMU, then you...
Or not using the crosswalk.
No, usually it's using... That's why it's so funny, is because the... The people
does that happen frequently?
Not all the time, but it's happened.
But you got to dodge. You got to watch.
Oh, yeah. You got to – don't trust that flashing light to just stop the cars.
Yeah, make sure you look both ways like you were taught in first grade.
Yeah, so things like that. There's just some funny ones out there.
All right, 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1. Now, one thing that Matt is up on, and I'm going to ask Mr. Adam if he has looked at it yet, is Windows 8. Have you got a chance to play with the beta version yet, Adam?
No, I just don't have any interest in it. I mean, I will maybe, but it doesn't apply to my life anymore. So
okay. Well, Matt finally got a chance to look at it.
Okay.
And Matt, what's your first impressions?
Okay, my first...
You love it.
My very first impression is that I don't feel like Rick was hard enough on Windows 8.
Really?
Yes. When I got on there, my son put it onto his laptop, and I went through playing with it.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't find anything.
Okay, well, I got a question just from what I've seen, though, is if you had a touch screen, would it be different?
It's a big if, number one.
I don't know.
Because we don't have touch screens yet.
Right. No, I know, but I mean, just imagine all this stuff you're doing with the mouse. If you could just
I'm thinking no, too. Hmm. Just the way that it's laid out, I see where they're going with. They've got a couple of screens that they're trying to switch back and forth to, but it's not getting you to all the screens and all the information, you know, where you would expect your start button with all your programs and everything to find. Those are hidden somewhere. I don't even remember how to get to them yet.
Getting in and out of apps with or without a touchscreen is there's no intuitiveness.
So there's not a button that says apps?
No.
That takes you in? Oh, okay.
There's a bunch of squares.
Well, wait. I did find one of those.
I would assume that, like on the Windows phone, there's one that says apps. You click on it.
I did finally find one. I don't remember how I got there. I did finally find one that said apps, and I clicked on it, and it brought me back, I think, to the main screen.
Okay.
But it didn't get me, like, to the control panel and the administrative tools and stuff. I actually had to use old school, the Windows key R, to run commands to find things.
Right.
But, you know, aside
and
from
how
that...
how many average computer users are going to be able to do that?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, is there going to be a classic mode of any kind on it that's going to give
you As far as I've read...
They're not planning on
it. Maybe, but probably not.
Wow.
I early on, I heard they were not.
Okay, that's both a good thing and a bad thing. It's a bad thing because it's a fumble. You're going to fumble through it.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, that's a good thing because that means you're not just running a new shell on top of it, or a new, whatever you want to call it, a new...
A user interface.
A new GUI on top of an old system. Hopefully that means that they've kind of revamped the...
I think they did. I think somewhere I heard that they did start things over from scratch on this one a little bit.
They always say that, but I have a feeling that it's this one more so than ever. But
I do think, speaking of new things, I think they revamped the file system, if I remember correctly. I was reading something about some operating system that has redone the file system again. So it's no longer NTFS, it's something else.
Oh, good.
So now,
good. That's so good.
Did they make it better or worse?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. As soon as you get a Mac user who wants to use their hard drive on another machine, they're going to be going nuts. Anyway, I have a feeling we've lapsed into geek.
We got to get a call. 241-8801 extension 1, and we'll tell you all. We're throwing out things. We're trying to tease you and say one of the big things we get is we do talk too much geek.
Yes.
But then we're trying to tease you to say, call us and ask us what it is.
That's right.
Because that's the only way people are going to
learn. Windows 8 is a good thing. I mean, is a good topic.
Good
topic.
Good
example
about,
of that. Yeah.
I had a client today who was thinking about a new laptop or a new computer of some type, and we talked about Windows 8 coming out potentially later this year. At the latest, from what we're hearing, early next year.
Right.
And if Microsoft has got any brains left in their company, you usually try to get things out before Christmas.
Right.
So the smart money would be, hopefully they'll have an October
release.
It's not
unusual. October is pretty standard for Microsoft. They usually tease June and then delay until October.
Yeah. Right. And so, so we could see new laptops and desktops from Windows-based manufacturers later this year.
Yeah. Man. Are you going to be recommending people get Windows 8?
Well, the thing is, once it goes to Windows 8, you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Once Windows releases a new version, you can't go back.
Yeah, you have to say go to Newegg and search for this and whatever operating system is on it. You have to buy an OEM copy of Windows 7.
If they're going to get a Windows computer after it's released, that's all they have a choice of.
Well, I guess that's what I'm asking is, are you going to push people towards Linux or Mac versus Windows at that point?
Well, I'll tell you what, I in my own mind and mixed up in today's world, because I am seeing the more I use this crazy iPad and the more I see how people use their computers, I'm thinking that the iPad with a nice little keyboard with a wireless printer and now we have new wireless hard drives for bigger storage that can suffice for many people's computer use.
Yep.
Do you guys agree?
I agree. Absolutely.
I think that what most people use now... Again, I think digital photography is the one common use that a lot of people have that the iPad just doesn't do well enough on.
Now, you're talking about hobbyists that want to edit a lot.
Hobbyists who want to edit. Right. And doing anything with your photos, and you're really even storing your photos, it's kind of cumbersome to do that on an iPad, because you either have to
have those external hard drives,
have external hard drives. There's all sorts of stuff you have to do. That it's, 64 gigs is not enough storage space if you're into music and pictures.
Right.
The day-to-day stuff, I see people having a desktop computer or maybe a laptop, but a desktop computer that they use for storage and for when they need a real computer, and then using their iPad for everything else. I don't think they need a laptop. I think laptops are pretty useless now unless you have an absolute need for them.
Right. Oh, unless it's your only computer.
Right.
Right. And I'm thinking, going to kind of piggybacking on what you're saying and to answer more thoroughly Matt's question, I'm making more and more recommendations and actually helping people switch to Linux because if you have a laptop, if you have a desktop or a laptop that's built since 2003, so we're talking 9 years old or newer, which is a pretty old computer by computer standards, you can run Linux, which is a very capable operating system to do digital photography, to do your storage, to do those kinds of things on an old computer without paying a lot of money and then pick up an iPad.
Right.
Yeah.
And I had a client just yesterday who got bit really hard by a virus. Well, I take it back. It was a virus, and then the guy tried to fix it, crashed everything.
Right.
Oh.
And the only way to get it back, and this was truly a 9-year-old computer.
Yeah.
The only way to get the stuff back would be to reinstall everything. They don't know where their original disks are.
Right.
So in the past, if I didn't know about Linux, it would probably be a junky computer. I'd say you have to junk it or go try to find Windows. But now I said we could recover your data, because I can still get to the data, and I said we can install Linux, take about half an hour. Give you a little tutorial how to use it, and they already had a laptop, and then your computer would be perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what amazes me, too, along these same lines, is when you are shopping for a new computer and you decide whichever way to go, I can't believe still, we always say this, but it's better every time I say this, how much computer you can get for $350 now.
Mm-hmm.
A laptop or a desktop, either way.
Yeah.
You can get a quad-core AMD processor with 4 gigs of RAM and a 500-gig hard drive for $350 now. And, that's sometimes that's with a 17-inch screen if it's on sale. Usually it's a 15.6. But, if you really need a computer...
It's almost a commodity today.
A commodity and something to where you wonder why you would even, whether or not to even repair it. Of course, you always have the price of setup costs and things like that. But but a lot of times when you get to a 9-year-old computer and you're trying to figure out whether to fix it, I don't even think there's a question anymore.
No.
And
the only question is, the data that's on the old machine and what it's going to cost to get it transferred.
Transfer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I think that price is getting cheaper, too, with the speed of hard drives and the speed of transferring and things like that. Yeah. But I don't know. It's really strange.
We're in a transition period. There's no doubt about it. And with the cloud that Matt and I were talking about just a while back, it makes things different too, because you can do computing anywhere.
I have students who store all their stuff on either Dropbox, Google Drive, or iCloud.
And
they, you know, that's where everything they have is. It's one of those places.
We got a call here.
Hey, finally, we have a call. Hello, you're on with Rick and Adam and Matt. What can we do for you?
What, it's all geek to me.
Good.
Do you consider it a meme?
Yeah, that would be a meme.
All right, Professor Tucker, I was just checking.
Hey, who's this?
It's Ashley.
Hey, Ashley, what's up?
I just had a penalty. I'm not going to say my last name, but...
That's okay. I know who you are. Go for it. I'm shocked that you listen to this station.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's all right. What's up?
What part don't you understand, and we'll try to clear it up?
Just everything, actually.
That's a very broad...
Ashley, what kind of computer do you use, Ashley?
OEM, all those words, whatever you were saying.
Yeah.
Windows 8, are you talking about a browser, or...
What's that?
A new program, a new software?
No, OEM was a acronym thrown out there meaning Original Equipment Manufacturer, I think.
Okay.
Is that what it stands for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's why it's important to you to know that, is that if you buy a Windows disk from Best Buy, it might cost you $200, $300... $129, depending on what kind you get. If you get an OEM, that's like directly from Microsoft without the pretty box.
Okay.
So they charge you like $89 or $100 for something that would normally be $200 or $300. So it's cheaper. It's a cheaper way to buy it. You have to agree
same
to
thing.
Different things.
Same different
exact,
packaging.
Yeah, same exact program, but different packaging. So it's a way
that's
you buy
a great insight.
Yeah, so like when you buy a new computer... It comes with an OEM version of Windows, not the pretty box version, but it's exactly the same program.
Great. All right, I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
Take note. I thought I was done taking notes for your class after a day, but...
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ashley. Bye-bye.
Bye.
241-8801 extension 1. We like those college students calling
in. There you go.
Absolutely.
And that, because that there's a meme, if there was a meme, if we're going to keep talking about memes, is that all young people know computers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do know how to use them, but when you
start... That's more of a myth than a meme.
I think so.
Okay.
But, they use them, they can produce things with them, but when you start talking about the details of RAM and throwing out those acronyms like OEM... Then they start furrowing their brow like anyone else.
Right.
It's one of the, and I was going to tweet something the other day, and I'll tell you it after this call. 241-8801, welcome to the program. How can we help you?
Hi. Say, I have a Galaxy tab thing.
Good.
And I don't know how to, email pictures or to get them on the other computer. Or are you supposed to use Picasa? I don't know what that is.
You can use Picasa. One thing... There's a couple different things to talk about with the Galaxy Tab.
Well, let's tell her the first easy thing on how to email.
Okay.
So you can receive your email on your Galaxy Tab, right?
Right.
Okay. So you should be able to go into what's called the gallery when you're viewing your photos.
Right. I know how to do that.
And when you're in the gallery, there's a little button at the bottom that's the menu button that pulls up the menu options on your Galaxy Tab.
Uh-huh.
One of those options is... Share.
Right.
And then one of the options under share should be email.
Right. But and it doesn't work.
Well, then there's a setup problem.
Then there's a problem with your tab, and you're going to have somebody look at it because it should be that easy. You should be able to click on the photo share.
Can you send other emails from that?
I can send other emails, but I can't do that. As a matter of fact, I'm doing it as we speak.
Right. Yeah, no, it should work. It should just be you fill out the recipient's name and subject line.
And then it gives you your choice of Picasa.
So choose Gmail. Right. Choose your Gmail.
Use your Gmail.
Is Gmail who you're using for email?
For this, yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's one. And so then I put in whoever I'm going to.
All right. So it is working. There you go.
But then the recipient doesn't get it. Pictures. It's like it's not clicking the picture. Or
well, when you're filling out the email, you don't see that the attachment is shown there on the photo on the email as you fill it out. You should see the name. It looks like a long number is what it looks like.
I think that's actually the name of this particular file.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you should see the attachment on there as in part of the email. You should see an attachment. As you're composing your email, there should be somewhere.
You don't even have to compose. Okay, done. And so it says, it shows it on there. It says the JPG.
Yeah, yeah.
And then.
And you should be able to send it, and they should get it.
And just send it, and then it should go, huh?
Yeah. So, and you, if you have multiple email addresses, practice it with yourself. Send it to yourself and see if it's working. It should work. That should work.
Is there a necessity to have Picasa?
Well, what Picasa does is allows you to conglomerate all of your photos or gather all your photos in one place and create albums. So be able to organize your photos.
You know, one app I'd recommend if you're using Picasa and you have a
Android tablet
is download the Google Plus app. And the Google Plus app is, it's just Google Plus. Just search for that, but from the store.
And the symbol plus.
Yeah, little symbol plus.
Okay.
Search for that. And what that does is it actually has a feature in there. If you go through the settings, it will make it so every time you take a picture, it automatically uploads it to Picasa. So it's like having an instant backup of any pictures you take.
Picasa something you have to download as well?
It's not on the Galaxy tab, but on your computer. If you download Picasa, then it will. Then it is a free. You know, it's a free program, but you can download it as an individual program and install it, and then it will actually synchronize the pictures that are on your Picasa account with your computer. So you'll actually have those computer, you know, those pictures available to you.
I was trying to figure this out, and I was trying to read about it today, and I came across this thing, and I think it was called KEIS, which puts all your media from your computer with your other gadgets.
KEIS.
Uh-huh.
I haven't heard of that one. You guys heard of it?
Nope.
Looking it up now.
Well, this is an old, that's a different thing, what I found when I searched for KEIS.
Me too.
KEIS?
Yeah. S with S as in Sam?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think that's what it was called, and it was a way that you could put all your things together, like
K-I-E-S.
Media off your computer.
Oh, K-I-E-S.
I before E, except after C.
Okay.
There you go.
Sorry.
By Samsung. Okay, so that's a Samsung product because it's a Galaxy Tab made by Samsung.
Anything about that?
I don't, except for it's something that Samsung's plugging, and that always is a red flag to me, not because it's Samsung, but because it's just something that comes on the device.
And it's proprietary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can download a program for it. You know, I don't know. It's kind of it looks like it's Samsung's version of iTunes. It looks like it tries to synchronize everything with your computer and your phone. So I don't know. I don't see anything that's bad about it. I just don't know anything about it as far as good. I don't know that I'd recommend doing it, but if it makes your life easier, you might give it a try.
I gotcha.
It's not going to hurt anything.
Well, okay, I'll play around some more then. Thank you.
All right, we appreciate the call. Thanks for
calling.
Thanks
a lot. Bye.
241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. Great question.
Who thought of KIES for a product name?
Yeah.
Keys. Keys.
Yeah, but still.
What does that mean?
Call it keys.
I don't know, the keys to your car.
We'll call it K-E-Y-S. That's what I would do. All right, you're on with Rick and Adam and Matt. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm interested in the voice recognition software
cool.
for my laptop. And, you know, I want to write my life story on a book.
Good.
And I'm a terrible typist, and, you know, the ads you see on TV for, there's this one particular brand called Dragon.
Dragon's what you want, yep.
Yeah, it makes it look so simple and easy. I was wondering if there's others out there, what's the learning curve on there, are there any glitches?
Are you on a Mac or on a PC?
I'm on a Mac.
Okay. You're on a Mac. Now, I don't know if Dragon, does Dragon make
Dragon has
Mac?
A Mac version.
Okay.
Yep. And, I didn't know anything about this a year ago, and now I'm sort of becoming an expert slowly in Dragon. The way that I hear you speak, it sounds to me like you're going to be just fine.
Good candidate.
Dragon is a good program. It does have a learning curve, and it trains you as much as you train it. So just keep that in mind, that if you tend to say a couple words the same way, you tend to slur certain words, you don't add ing to the end of things, you'll spend a lot of time training it, but it sounds to me from the way you're talking that you'd be a great candidate for it.
Okay, Okay. Are there others voice recognition?
None that I would recommend.
Exactly.
Yeah, because Dragon is really the best. They created it. Any company that even comes close to them, they usually buy.
I think they bought the one major competitor to them used to be IBM Via Voice, and I think they even bought them.
Yeah, there's nobody out there that does as well as Dragon, and really take your time learning it. A little bit of effort, putting a few hours into it at the very beginning, will make all the difference in the world. Don't get frustrated with it. Just keep working with it until you get it, and you'll figure it out.
I think the biggest hurdle that a lot of people get with voice recognition is, and I find it with myself, is you think differently when you're speaking than when you're typing.
Right.
And
right.
So, like you said, you wanted to write your life story. And so when I type, I find that I think differently and my sentences come out differently than when I speak.
Right.
So when you're doing the speech recognition, I think sometimes I'm a little too staccato.
Right.
My writing can be very staccato, but I think my speech is even more so because I'm trying to get the computer to recognize what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because
you're reading and talking at the same time, which is a little more difficult than typing and typing at the same time. So
right.
Thinking
so,
and typing. Interesting. But it's not something I discourage you from. A lot of people do it.
No, once you get in the flow of it, it works extremely well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if typing slows you down more than hearing yourself speak out loud, I think I'd definitely give it a shot. Just know that there's other stuff involved more. It's not like you just free flow talk and it just types. You do have to say period, question mark.
New paragraph.
What's the word for delete that? Go back.
Delete that. I think it's just.
Is it just delete that? And then, you know, there's
change
all these different commands you can do.
And one other learning thing that I found when I used it, when I first started learning it, was use it to answer email.
Yeah.
Because that's a good short way to practice and get used to some of those things that Adam's talking about, which are the commands. Once you learn some of those basic commands of the Dragon Naturally Speaking, then it becomes even easier to produce documents with it.
Yeah. On days where you have a cold.
Correct that. That's what it is.
Yeah, correct that. On days where you have a cold, it's not going to work the same as days where you don't. I mean,
Gone to the dentist.
If you've gone to the dentist, Matt would not be the best candidate for that right now. But it does have an impact on it like that. But if you get used to talking and you sound the same, it'll work great for you.
Okay, second question. You know, everything evolves so quickly in the tech world. Are there new things on the horizon as far as voice recognition software where, maybe waiting a couple months might be more beneficial?
You know, I still think that no matter what happens, Dragon is going to be at the forefront of it. I don't see anything coming out that's better than Dragon. Dragon could potentially. One thing I'm seeing in the medical industry is internet-assisted voice recognition, and that's where you speak. It goes out to the web. It does the recognition and then, sends it out. But I don't necessarily think it's going to be better. It's just going to be a different method of doing it, and it's not worth waiting for.
Well, and you've heard of Siri on the iPhone, right?
Right. Exactly.
And Siri is backed by the Dragon Naturally Speaking engine.
Oh, is it?
Yep. They use the Dragon Naturally Speaking engine. They contracted with Nuance. Is that the name of the company?
Yep.
It's the Nuance technology that drives the recognition that Siri uses. And the Dragon Naturally Speaking free app for an iPad or an iPhone works fantastic. It works very, very well.
Well, great. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too, bye.
241-8801. We appreciate all the calls. 241-8801, extension 1, or if you're out of the area, 970-241-8801, extension 1.
Now, speaking of speech recognition, Google has allowed this free, telephone number, Google Voice, and what they have been doing with that is they have been analyzing dialects of speech this whole time so that they could offer their own product, which for the Android devices, you can do speech recognition.
Anywhere you can enter text,
exactly. And I have found at times it is so good that it's just phenomenal. And I suspect that they will eventually integrate that as a product, a lot like Dragon, where you just integrate it in with, your iPad or whatever so that it's...
Well, and they've already ported it to Google Chrome. If you use Google Chrome on your Mac or your PC, and I think because it's Chrome, you can use it on Linux, you can download the voice app from Google as a little... Or what do they call it?
An extension?
An ex-
or
Is there another word, though, in
well,
Chrome?
Well, they have both extensions and apps.
Yeah, I think but extension. But anyway, anywhere there's a text box, you can use the voice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome,
and
awesome.
That works in Google Chrome.
Nice.
And it's pretty cool.
I'm going to try that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was starting to say earlier when we were talking about the kids, just real quick, just to finish my thought and hopefully generate a few more phone calls.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
For some reason, the other thing I see that happens in the computer world is that people are afraid to ask questions in technology world. Now, if you're one-on-one with them, they'll ask questions all day. But in a public forum, or even in their own house, they feel like it's something they should already know, and it's something they should be able to solve without outside help. And so Adam and I have talked about this many times, and I frequently ask people, well, if your refrigerator breaks down, would you try to repair it yourself? Or would you call in a refrigerator repairman?
Right.
And 95% of the time, unless somebody has those skills, they're going to say, I'm going to call a refrigerator
repairman.
And
they're not embarrassed by the fact they have to call a refrigerator.
Right. And they don't even blink an eye at calling them. But yet if something goes wrong with a computer, they'll work on it for days, if not weeks, before calling in a computer repair person. I don't understand that.
Because refrigerator repairmen and computer repairmen charge about the same amount of money.
Yeah, and I think we're less.
In a lot of cases.
Yes, yeah. So I don't understand that part of it is where people think that for some reason everyone should know everything about a computer.
I think there's also a certain amount of familiarity with the computer that they feel like they can get a little further, whereas a refrigerator, it's so foreign. I mean, there's not even a starting point for where you open the thing. So at least with a computer, they kind of have a starting point, and they push themselves, oftentimes making the problem worse, though.
But going on that same thing, a refrigerator, to me, is finite. You have wires, you got some pipes, you got a few things in there you can see and touch.
Yep.
A computer is wide open. You could get way deep into things on your computer that you're never going to be able to figure out. And cumulatively, just to kind of demonstrate this further, the three of us in this room are considered widely by people as computer experts, and that's a very loose term.
Right.
Because cumulatively between us three, I'll bet we know less than 5% of what there is about computers.
That's why I don't do queries.
That's the part I take over.
That's right.
So it's an interesting phenomenon to me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it all has to do with just the starting point, the ease of starting. Because where would you go to open up a refrigerator besides the front door?
I get a screwdriver.
often
pull it out.
Yeah.
Get a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Look to see if I can figure out what's going on.
But how often
before I call the refrigerator guy?
Yeah. But how often do people have that entry point of grabbing the screwdriver to get that? Whereas the computer, they're already there at the type or at the keyboard,
right?
And so they just have an easier access point to get started. That's my take.
Yeah. It's an interesting phenomenon. And there was another thing that came up today with a gentleman that got his Yahoo hacked, his Yahoo email hacked. And he said, it all started when I clicked on something that needed an update. And I said, well, what was the something? And the person said, I don't know. And it sounds kind of funny to all of us, and it sounds funny to somebody from the outside, but how many times do folks click on things that they didn't thoroughly understand or read?
Yep.
And that's what gets you into trouble on a computer. And computers, if you read
everything. But I blame Microsoft for that.
Because
in Windows, you click OK to everything because you get tired of so many questions getting asked.
Especially since Vista.
Yeah. It's like, do you want to? Do you want to? Do you want to? Yes, yes, yes. Just
let
go,
me go
away.
And Flash. Flash is the other one. Do you want to install Flash Player? Yes. Just get it done. Yes, yes, yes. You click yes eight times.
Yep.
I think it's between Adobe and Windows, we've trained people, or they've trained people, to just click yes. Click in the affirmative, whatever it is. Just get rid of the window by clicking yes.
Yep. And it is dangerous. You're right. It is dangerous.
Now, anyway. I got bit this week.
By
clicking on a link.
What'd you click on?
Well, I was sent an email from, it was an invite from LinkedIn, and I get these fairly frequently.
Yeah.
It was so well masked that I didn't. It looked legitimate to me.
But when you hovered, you didn't hover on the link.
I didn't do my hover.
Ugh.
And so, but okay, but this is why I love Linux.
Firing Matt.
This is why I love Linux. Because when my filter gets turned off and I still click on the link, Nothing happened.
Nothing happens, right?
Yeah. It went to some foreign site that I immediately recognized as bogus.
Right.
And so I just, you know, I
closed the browser.
Just close it down, and I'm good.
But had Matt been using Windows.
Oh, I would have been toast.
You'd have been hosed.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
And speaking of being hosed, one of the things that comes up every month when we're here is backup.
Backup
is just the...
I wrote about that on Facebook this week.
Did you talk about backup?
I did. Because I had a student who got...
I think maybe I saw that, actually. Yeah. One of the first times I've been on Facebook, yeah. And I might have seen something about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, backup is one of those things that, again, it's kind of like insurance. Most people have car insurance. If you drive a car, you more than likely have car insurance, partially because it's required.
It's mandatory. Right. I'm almost thinking that backups need to be mandatory.
Right, but... it's the same kind of thing. If you use a computer and you store data on it that is remotely important, you need to have a backup system.
Yep. And you would be amazed at how little data is considered important, too. Some of the smallest, most minute details that you save, they're important, and you notice it when they're gone.
That's exactly right. Because a lot of people say, oh, nothing's important on my computer, until they lose it. Right.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
they realize, ooh, I wish I had this, this, and this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know from experience that you will ask somebody, you'll ask a client, is there anything on this computer you need to save? No. Is there anything at all? Do you have anything at all you need to save?
Because we're
going to erase it. No, I don't need anything. And then 3/4 of the way through the reformat process, they'll ask, will this will just move over my address book, right?
Yeah.
I'll still have all my stuff from my pictures will still be there, right? You know, you're like
that folder on my desktop.
Yeah, remember that question I asked you about deleting everything, and you said no, I don't have it. What's the percentage of time? I don't know. For me, it seemed like it was like 75% of the time.
It's crazy.
I started just backing everything up, even if they told me no.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Say okay, yeah. desktop, backup documents, backup the
address book.
Yeah.
It's. And like Matt said, you don't know that it's important sometimes until you lose it.
You're right.
Yeah. And the easiest way to figure that out is shut off your computer and go to another computer and say,
That's a good idea.
How would I do something?
That's right.
And you'll realize, oh my gosh,
my
bookmarks. I don't even know how to get to this site, my bank or wherever. I don't even know how to start my day. You will start listing off thousands of things and realize, wow, my life really is on my computer, and I need to back it up.
And that's true. More and more, it is there. And so you got to learn to back those things up. And we have a lot of tips on how to back up your computer and back up the important data at our website, helpmerick.com. So go check it out. All right, 241-8801, extension 1, 241-8801, extension 1.
You have
call
any predictions? Any predictions for the summer? Because we're getting ready for the big announcements for all the pre-Christmas products and computers. Do you have any big predictions?
I saw one today about Macintosh, and I'll tell you about it after this call.
I think I know the one. I think it's a good one. Hey, this is Rick and Adam and Matt. What can we do for you?
All right. I have a question. I was going to ask Adam anyway.
Good.
But since he's on the radio, I thought, why don't ask him in public anyway?
Good.
You got it.
In Photoshop,
okay.
Sometimes when I type in text, no matter how big it is,
yes,
it's all fuzzy, pixelated, weird.
Ah, good question.
Yep.
Next time, it's just perfectly clear, clean lines. What setting do I not have checked?
It's not necessarily a setting. Usually when that happens, it's because of the size of the photo. Are they always large?
That's you're right.
Yeah, if it's a really small photo, you're going to get fuzzy text because there's fewer pixels in that picture.
Bam, that's exactly what it was, because you got a big old picture, 72-point font,
it's
nice and crystal clear, little picture, 72-point font, still all screwy.
Yep.
That's it.
You guys are awesome.
Well, I'm glad we were able to help you.
All right, see ya.
Hey, appreciate the question. Bye-bye. 241-8801.
I'm glad I have a fan out there.
Yeah, that's good. 241-8801, extension 1. Those are great questions. We love any kind of question. But I was the only rumor that I've heard and prediction that I'm going to talk about is that Apple, and this is kind of, I think maybe this is because of the death of Steve Jobs, why we may or may not see this, is they may release a lower price, sub-$800 laptop.
MacBook Air or MacBook Pro?
From what I read, it was MacBook Pro, but again, it's all rumor at this point.
Yeah.
So So I think it's a good idea. I think get people in at a smaller price point.
I think so too.
But does it oversaturate their brand and cause decrease in quality? I don't know.
It's a good question. I don't know. I think we're going to see some changes that are very not something that Steve Jobs would have done. Not that we, not that they'll hurt the brand necessarily, but I think we're already starting to see some things happening that Steve Jobs would have never gone for.
Yeah. So what rumor did you hear? Or what's your prediction? Thinking, what's a prediction you have?
I like the rumor that the new iPhone 5 will be longer and skinnier, but the same basic width. Have you
longer
seen that?
Longer and skinnier.
Yeah, it'll basically have a 16:9 screen on it instead of the squarish screen that the current one has. I
haven't seen
like
that, rumor.
And did you see the rumor that it's going to have liquid metal for the back?
Yes, I do like that too. That's a good one, so you want to watch for that.
Which would be lighter.
For those who are listening and don't know, liquid metal isn't an adjective. It's a brand name of a new type of metal that's very
kind of like Gorilla Glass.
Kind of like, yeah, it's a flexible metal. It's durable. If you look it up on YouTube, it's all one word, liquid metal. There's some really cool videos that show you what it does. It's a really strange type of metal.
Right,
it's not really liquid, solid, but it's very flexible. And like, for example, if you take a ball made of liquid metal and drop it, it keeps bouncing for 2 or 3 minutes instead of, you know, a few seconds. It's really interesting stuff. What else?
What about the name? iPhone 5.
I think it'll, I don't know, that's a good question.
In Australia, Apple has tried to commandeer the domain name iPhone5.com.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Really?
And so there's a public forum on there in Australia, and they're trying to fight it. But
right.
So that kind of pushes me to think that they're wanting iPhone 5.
But I bet if you had the domain iPhone 6, I bet they would do the same thing. I mean, I think they're just – because the next iPhone will be called the iPhone 5, whether they call it that or not.
Right.
But I think I don't know. Everybody's gotten used to that. But I think the new – where they're calling it the new iPhone instead of the iPhone – whatever they'd call this one, 4GS, whatever. Anyway.
Okay, now a local prediction I have is that there's a certain new CMU professor that came on board who's a computer expert by the name of Adam Cochran.
Yeah.
And because of that, in his contract and negotiations, he has said he wants to do Google Apps at CMU.
I would. I've talked to him about it.
Have you really?
My suggestions don't mean anything, but I have asked IT, why are we going with this instead of just Gmail?
Right.
You know, just switching over, because BYU does that. And
a lot of schools switch
over to Gmail.
My daughter's school in Oregon does that.
Yeah, it takes a huge headache away from IT, but no, they still use the...
Novell
stuff. Yeah. Novell stuff. And I think that's a generational thing. I think that we'll see the next generation of IT people having no problem with that. And I don't necessarily think it's behind or it's bad. It's just cumbersome, you know, compared to just going to a Gmail and letting all the back end stuff go to
And that's
go
been
Google.
Around since what, the '90s?
Yeah.
So it's now almost 20-year-old technology.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's very similar to Outlook. Mm-hmm. You know, and Outlook is dying too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Thank goodness.
Yes,
I've never been an Outlook fan. I used it for years because it was good for what it did.
Yeah. I'm despising it more and more every time I encounter it.
Well, and the thing that we're talking about here is for folks that are still using Outlook, and why we're talking some trash about it is that think about how you Outlook users use it. When you're away from your computer, you don't have access to your contacts, probably. You don't have access to your old email. Probably, unless you've got other things going with remote access and things like that. But you don't have access to the information that is important to you, your calendar, again, unless you're syncing and doing these other things. But for the most part, you're not as productive away from your computer than you are at your computer with Outlook. Right. Whereas if you're using Google Calendar, using Gmail, you're using Google Contacts, you can be as productive at Matt's computer as you are your own computer.
Right.
And that's what I think the huge advantage is.
And that's what's happening. I think that'll be a big thing that tablets change. I mean, really, even cell phones, Android has changed that a lot. You know, iPhone has taken some of those features, but Android and Palm actually started it to where, you know, if you have, you can set your phone to synchronize with your Google account, your Facebook account, anywhere that you have a presence. And, you know, some of those things, well, why do I want my Facebook people on my phone? But really, in some ways, it's helpful if you really communicate that way, because it means instead of texting them, you can send them a Facebook message, or you can, you know, call them through Facebook or something. So it's beneficial. The more the more active you are in social media, it can be helpful.
Absolutely. Well, and I think what happens too is by doing all that, it gives you the ability to get away from your computer.
Yeah.
You can get away from your computer, still have the communication, still have access to the info, but not be tied to a desk.
I sit at my desktop, my personal computer. I sit at my personal computer maybe once a week for about an hour now because I have my iPad to take care of all my emails.
Do you do Stumble on your iPad?
I do a little bit.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I still send you a lot of stuff on Stumble.
Yeah, I still see your stuff. I don't comment on everything.
Well, that's fine.
I've gotten to the point where I don't reply to 90% of the stuff I get sent.
Yeah.
Nope,
you're not
getting the Stumbles, and I appreciate them, and I add them to my stuff. But you know what I do is I take my Stumbles, and then I add them to my, Pearl Trees.
Are you still using Pearl Trees?
I still use Pearl Trees because it's the best place to just map all my and categorize all my
bookmarks. Yeah. And I websites.
I use it a lot. Yeah.
Have you tried Pearl Tree?
No. Yeah. One of you showed it to me. Yeah. And it's fabulous.
And now that it works on the iPad, you know, now, because really my bookmarks I don't use because I want to sit down and browse the web. Usually it's somebody asks me, I want a good list. Yeah, I want a good list of iPad apps for education. Well, then I go to iPad, look up Pearl Trees. I look at my iPad section and I do that. That's more often how I use it. It's something where I need a resource.
And you got onto it early a year or two ago.
Yeah.
And so you've been using it a long time.
Yeah, I don't necessarily recommend it for everybody, but for people who want to categorize their bookmarks and have them available everywhere, Pearl Trees, really, it's basically
delicious.
Is it
Pearl Tree or Pearl Trees?
Pearl Trees, I think.
Plural?
Yeah.
Pearl Trees, plural.
Yeah, we'll look it up here. But yeah.
And it's a bookmarking service for you to save websites. Yeah. And Adam found this probably right when it first came out, 2 or 3 years ago,
right.
And he's really liked it and worked it hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could even... The other thing, too, is it's public, so you can set stuff for private, but I don't have any reason to. But it's public, so if you go to pearltrees.com/talkingdigital, you can see all the things that I've bookmarked there. Mm-hmm. If it's a personal bookmark, like something for my family, of course, I just add that to my regular bookmarks because I know the address. But a lot, I get... You know, a lot of people will ask me about a good site for this or that, and it's a great place to keep track of.
And then from the website, can you just send a link directly from the website to them, or do you have to copy and paste?
I've never tried that. I've just always just
looked it up.
Yeah,
copy and paste.
I'm sure that that's there. I just
some kind of sharing mechanism.
Oh yeah, I'm sure that it's there. I just haven't done it. The other thing too is other people can, you know, link to your Pearl Trees. They can't add to them if you have it locked, but they can link to it. So if they find it interesting. Gives you a way to link to other people and find out what other people are saying too. So,
and I get an email.
Social media bookmarker.
Yeah, I get an email every now and then. Somebody picked one of my pearls, and I don't use it anymore. But every now and then, I'll get that email.
Yeah, it just means that
they found a bookmark
that you're interested in and linked up. But yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like
it's very visual and it's a cool interface.
Yeah, it's a weird mesh between StumbleUpon and Delicious, kind of. It's a strange mix. And those who don't know social media probably don't know anything about it. But
all right, 241-8801 extension 1. We have a few more minutes if you want to squeeze a question.
Have you
seen
Avengers yet?
Yes.
Have you? I got to go see it. I've heard it's
very
really,
good.
Really good. Okay.
Very very good.
Maybe I'll take my wife to go see it then. Happy Mother's Day.
I won't tell you anything about it, but I liked it. I personally liked it.
Good.
All right, I've got a question for Adam.
Yes.
It looks like there was a Mac OS X login password put at risk was the name of this, the title of this.
Okay.
And essentially, with the latest update on the Mac OS X, and one of the programmers left one of the debug thing statements on so that your administrative password is put into clear text. Do you happen to know anything about this? And if it is a big threat, I mean, they're kind of suggesting it is.
I have not even looked at that. That is brand new news to me.
Wow.
I have to look it up.
Okay, because it's really suggesting it's a big threat and you need to change your password and upgrade.
They did just release an update today, I think, for OS X.
Was it related to Java, though? Or what was
No. This was actually in the Mac OS developer code.
Okay.
So one of the developers accidentally left a debug statement on that was copying the password and saving it onto the machine.
Okay.
And so
in plain text.
In plain text.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
what
yeah.
they're saying is change your password and update to the latest version that won't have that in it.
But again, I think it was at risk. That I did read this article, I think, a day or so ago, that it's one of those things where it's at risk, but there's about 10 things that have to happen for somebody to see it.
Right. Well, you have
it
to be
hurt
the
to do the update.
No,
your password.
No, still do it.
Yeah, you have to be the administrator for sure to even access this. That's true. But in a corporate environment, you could have you know, a lot of problems with Mac. And Mac is getting into the enterprise level anymore.
Right,
so.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but again, I think it's one of those things where people read them and they think it's an alarmist kind of a thing. Like there was an article just a few weeks ago in the Sentinel
right.
about the FBI warning that thousands of people could be left without internet in July because of this particular infection.
Right.
And it when you do the research and figure it out, it's not a big deal.
Right.
And it apply. And when you first of all, if you think about thousands compared to over 2 billion people on the internet at this moment, that's a pretty small percentage. And then those thousands of people have to have all these different things that have occurred. And in response to that, I've got so many phone calls and emails. I did write an article at helpmerick.com. If you read that article and you're wondering, are you at risk, read my article. I've got links to what the problem is, whether or not you're at risk, how to tell if you're at risk, and then you can put your mind at ease.
Right. I think I found where the problem is.
Yes.
They're saying that the breach could also affect Time Machine backups to external drives.
Okay.
And so if you have made a backup with this particular update, your plain text password could be stored on this external drive.
Okay.
And so you're probably going to need to address that in some way as well. That's my guess of where.
And I'm like you. You're exactly right. If you're in a corporate environment,
right.
This is a much bigger deal because so many people might have access to your
right.
data. But if you're at your house,
right.
Much less problem.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, we are, I think, almost out of time. Adam, if you want to give us an outgoing music.
I can do that.
And we'll be back again next week, which is the third Wednesday of the month from noon to one another computer help show. So queue up your questions. And we'll be glad to answer them next week from noon to one here on KFM Radio 88.1, Grand Junction, Colorado.